Bonsoir. Welcome to SMQB's episode 175, brought to you by Assembly Software, the number one name in software. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Good. What's going on, Rooster?
Not too bad. We're here for our second week coverage of the Paris Olympics, and we're going to go with the same format we did last week, where we're going to talk in terms of our lassos and punchable faces. But before we get to that, Bison, who are you bringing to the bar?
The one and only pummel horse guy, of course, Steven Nedorosic. I have no idea if I said that right, but he is
Nerdman.
An American hero at this point. He is, I guess he's legally blind, right? But I mean, when he puts his glasses on, he can see. But I'm sure you've seen the guy around on the news if you've been watching anything about the Olympics. But it's a pretty cool story. I don't think he was really even supposed to be on the team. Somebody got hurt, and that's how he got onto the team, and then locked up the bronze medal on the pommel horse for the American team, and then got a bronze himself in the individual competition. So it's Clark Kent. That's what they're referring to him as.
Yeah. Good story. Pope, I feel like this is about the time you're going to ask us if we've ever heard of Jay-Z. Who are you bringing to the bar?
I didn't study up on my rappers before today's episode. You guys have given me shit enough that it is time for me to take the one and only GOAT, Novak Djokovic, to the bar.
Oh, yeah. I knew it.
We knew you loved it forever.
We knew you loved him.
Can't hide it forever.
I will say that that tennis on Sunday morning was some of the best I've seen in a long time. It was really good. And the Joker played as good as he's played in a long time. Hadn't won a tournament this year, and then he goes out and he wins the gold against Alcaraz. And so he was very emotional, and I would really like to pick his brain about why the gold medal for his country meant so much to him compared to the other 22 or however many majors that he's won over the years.
And you're infatuated with this guy.
Yeah,
I think we're going to do.
You called it.
I think we're going to do some Serbian shots along the way.
I bet you are.
Milk, who are you taking to the bar?
I'm taking Kristen Faulkner. You all know who that is, right? I'm sure you do. She won the women's road cycling event for USA gold medal. First time we've medaled since 1984. Of course, that was NASA's favorites, Connie Carpenter and Alexi Gruhl, back in the LA game. He wasn't even supposed to be in the event. Taylor Nibb withdrew to focus on the triathlon. She popped in there and then just won the whole damn thing for the first time in 40 years. So congratulations to her, and have some shots in celebration.
All right. How about you, House?
I know you guys are all in the Olympic spirit, but we've reached DEFCON 1 here in Philly. So I am closing all bars for the foreseeable future to anybody on the Philadelphia Phillies. No one is allowed to go to the bar. No one is allowed to drink. They've obviously been drunk for the last 4 weeks. So no one's going to the bar with me. No one's allowed at the bar. The Phillies need to get their head out of their, how do we say it in French? Derriere.
Is it panic mode in Philly? Like,
wow.
Full panic.
Full panic. I can relate. I can relate. I was there not too long ago with the Yankees.
What's the damage? What's happened with the Phillies? How many have they lost?
They're still in first place.
Right.
The amazing thing is that the National League blows. Somehow we still have the best record in baseball. And
the Guardians do, don't you?
Guardians do. Passes? Yeah, they're 25
they're
over.
Teams. They're
a Jedi mind trick.
Two and eight in the last 10. Yeah, that's not
good. It's panic.
Yeah.
I am going to bring to the bar Sha'Carri Richardson. And I would like to have a little chat with her about the irony involved in the fact that 4 years ago, she was banned for the Olympics for having a little weed in her system. And now it seems like the guy you see everywhere you turn around at the Olympics is Snoop Doggy Bong Head. I mean, for God's sakes, how do we go from getting Shakari Richardson to Snoop in 4 years.
I agree, man. I agree.
That's hilarious. Yeah, yeah. Poor thing. Every time she turned the corner, she's got to be reminded of it.
Dude, by the way, Snoop doing the play-by-play in badminton is just fantastic.
How about him walking around, like going to fine dining with what's her name? The blonde woman who went to jail for insider trading. What's her name?
Martha Stewart.
Yeah.
See the one where she took him to some French, blonde woman. You know, like white tablecloth restaurant, and he had no idea what to do. It was funny. Anyway, let's get to the Olympics officially here, and start out with your favorite image so far from the Olympics. Bison, you go first.
Ooh. Oh man, that's a tough one. Favorite image. You got me. I don't know, man. I guess it's the one behind me at this point. I mean, I don't know how. I still don't understand who won this race. Looking at the picture behind me is of the men's 100 meters, the fastest man in the world. And I'm still looking at that picture trying to figure out how Noah Lyles from the U.S. was declared the winner.
I know, right? I guess they measure whose torso crosses.
Torso, yeah.
Because the Jamaican's foot is clearly across the line way before anything else.
He had a concave lean. Thompson did Jamaica.
Yep.
It prevents
you from throwing your arm out. I mean, that's arm doesn't count.
They have a little thing going on too, which I enjoy. Like they don't like each other.
No. So did you see the BBC coverage by Michael Johnson of the race? I really recommend all of our listeners. It is so, so well done. From the beginning of the race and all the splits along the way, and particularly the ending that answers Bison's question, how is it that we declared Noah Lyles the winners? BBC coverage on that 100-meter race was great.
Well, the NBC...
Five one-thousandths of a second?
Yeah.
Yeah, we thought F1 was close.
That's crazy.
Right? Yeah.
That's another one-thousandth versus one-hundredth.
Wow.
It's basically a tie.
And I was gonna punch NBC.
Wait a minute though. What is the rule, just for the listeners? What's the exact rule on how they measure who won?
Torso.
I think torso. Yeah.
Torso crosses the line.
That's fairly vague and amorphous, isn't it? I mean,
feet don't count, hands don't count, heads don't count.
Right, because that would be, you could put them out and it wouldn't be.
Well, they showed like people used to dive.
Yeah. Right.
Like they're diving into first base, like they dove.
Yeah.
But you don't get to first base faster diving. Everybody knows that you run through the bag. So that was a stupid play.
I don't know. Not with the bigger bags, though.
Bryce Harper would disagree.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah. No, it's torso. And so one of my punches was, I don't know if you guys saw it live, but the NBC broadcaster, Diffie, he said the Jamaican had won. He declared him the winner. You know, before
the Jamaican thought he won too, though.
Before they had
everybody
the photo
thought
finish.
The Jamaican won.
Yeah,
I think Lyles thought.
Oh,
he won.
No, Lyles
high-fived him.
Lyles, no. Lyles, if you watch, Lyles goes up and he puts his arm around him, and then he points up like they're both waiting to see what happens. Lyles doesn't congratulate.
I'm pretty sure I saw Lyles say, "Congrats, you got it."
Yeah.
Right before. Yeah. Definitely did. Lyles thought he was silver. So I don't know. Wild though. That's got to be the image of the Olympics so far, right? I'm sure there's some other good ones. Who's got another one, right?
Milk has one. Go ahead, Milk.
No, well, mine's right behind me. Scheffler. I mean, the whole thing yesterday, the tennis was great. The golf was phenomenal because you went into Sunday thinking that this thing was over with Pope's buddy, John Rahm, with a massive lead. And what does Scheffler do just time and time again? The unbelievable year that he's had, he comes out and shoots a 60 freaking two, like
29 on the back.
I mean, it comes out. I mean, no one was even talking about him before the round started on Sunday. Kind of, it was all Xander, and just his approach shots, the pressure. He gets in contention. He closes. It's what he's done all year. He's the number one golfer in the world. And you know, I ended up keeping it on watching the medal ceremony. But I mean, him breaking down at the end of the anthem. It, you know, that doesn't get you. I mean, that's what it's all about. And it was a really cool moment, and a cool golf course too. I thought that.
So I mean, we got smoked there in the Ryder Cup.
How did Rahm collapse? I mean, what happened? Well,
again, he thought the competition was over after 54, and he was pissed off that he had to play more golf on Sunday.
Yeah, but what was the hole that he was it 16? He was greenside and just a little swale, and he basically had a chili dip, and he didn't even get it up on the green. And he ended up having a bad putt that led to a double bogey. I think that's what cost him a medal. It was that
cost
hole.
Him a medal, not the gold.
No, not the gold, but the medal. He would have medaled if he doesn't double bogey that hole.
Yeah,
he
choked.
He choked.
He choked. I mean, Brandel Chamblee said it was as big a choke as Rory at the U.S. Open. He said that collapse on the back nine.
No, Rory's to lose much a medal. Worse.
Much worse.
Well, I know for you it was.
No, it was great.
What's your favorite image so far?
My favorite image, I know this is going to upset Bison a little bit because he is an uber patriot, but my image was not at the Olympic grounds, but it was of all the people gathered in St. Lucia to watch Julian Alfred win that 100-meter race for the women for the first medal ever for that country. And I think that's part of what's so fun about the Olympics. I mean, there's so many sports and people and countries that we would never, ever pay attention on any day of a calendar year, except once every couple of years when there's the Olympics. And St. Lucia and many of these island countries, the same day that St. Lucia got a gold medal, Dominica won a gold medal as well.
Right.
And so my
first time for both countries.
That was just awesome. Watching that little square in St. Lucia with all those people, like it was the happiest day of their lives. I'm sure there's a lot of poverty, a lot of difficulties there.
Well, yeah. And think about this. They had just come off Hurricane Beryl, which it didn't completely decimate St. Lucia, but they got a lot of damage from it. So they
exactly
that's a big pick me up.
I like that.
And we got what, silver?
Yeah, silver Shikari.
You know,
Shikari had a silver.
Going back to Milk's favorite image for Scheffler, it was fascinating to me that the top nine finishers, you know, because of the ties, included 12 different countries in golf. So it just shows you, you know, this scope of the popularity of the Olympics. And that brings me to something that was out of our mailbag that I'd like to just talk about briefly. An old friend of mine said, "Hey, why are you guys even covering the Olympics? It's too political. You should stick to baseball," essentially.
Cool.
And to that I say, the world is too political. People are too political. People are so partisan now that every little event or statement, it becomes a personal grievance on one side or another. And I choose to celebrate these Olympics because of the athletes and what they exemplify. And we've seen Scottie Scheffler, you know, the number one golfer in the world, has more money and he knows what to do with, breaking down surely out of patriotism. And I think these athletes are showing us things, character traits that we once took for granted and now are lacking throughout the world. You know, hard work, perseverance, but more importantly, character, integrity, and sportsmanship. You remember sportsmanship? I mean, weren't we all taught sportsmanship by our coaches when we were growing up? Sportsmanship is dead among politicians for sure in the world. But these athletes know sportsmanship, and they're showing us, they're re-showing us these traits. And I think it's beautiful. And I think that's the beauty of the Olympics. for example, my favorite image behind me. The just notwithstanding the terrible behavior of some of the North Korean athletes towards South Koreans on different podiums, this South Korean athlete decided, I want a selfie with my people to the north. You know, these guys have probably have families on either side of the DMZ. It's totally arbitrary line. And they have ancestors and families on each side of the line. And this athlete is putting politics aside and saying, these are fellow athletes, basically from the same country at one time or another. Our families sure thought that way, you know, generations ago. And we need to put that aside for a day and just celebrate our victories together. And there was a story from one of the world events of a Moroccan distance runner who was a distant second to one of the African runners. I think he was Kenyan, and the finish line is in sight, and he sees that the Kenyan has stopped short because he's missed the finish line. He thinks he's hit the finish line and he's stopped. And the Moroccan's yelling at him, keep going, keep going, keep going. But they don't speak the same language. So he pushes him across the finish line ahead of him. And people are like, you could have won that race. What are you doing? And his answer was something along the lines of, where's the merit in that? He clearly was the winner. There's no honor in that win if I just passed him and kept going. That's what the Olympics are about. And that's what people need to, you know, wake up and see.
Chris, to your point, I just want to add one part of that too, because one of the things that keeps striking me in the Olympics is the sheer joy that people show when they come in second or third, when they're on that podium. And I'm the guy who says, if you're not first, you're last, but I'll suspend that for the Olympics, because you just see the sheer joy for anybody who gets on a podium. I mean, they it's really pretty cool. They don't seem like the people who miss out by a tenth of a second or whatever. I mean, I'm sure that's hard, but at the same time, they look so just, you know, gleeful and content to be on the podium, period. So that's pretty cool too.
Tyson, I have a question for you and everybody else. Someone sent this great text question to me. You can change it to any medal versus gold medal, because maybe the answer changes. But which would you guys rather have? An Olympic medal or be a kicker that makes a field goal in a Super Bowl, and so you have a Super Bowl ring?
Kicker.
Yeah, you're the kicker. You're the kicker on a Super Bowl winning team. You'd rather be the kicker?
Hell yeah. My kick wins the Super Bowl?
We're not saying it wins the Super Bowl. You just you made a kick. You scored a field goal in a Super Bowl.
You're the starting kicker on the Super Bowl.
We could have won by 40 points then, and it would be irrelevant.
What are we talking about here? Ping pong.
You have a ring. You have a ring, and
you have a ring.
So you're asking, would I rather have a ring or a medal? Essentially,
would you rather be Garo Yepremian or Mark Spitz? Yeah. I'd take Mark Spitz every time.
I would like to have a gold medal from Paris,
Patrick,
piece of the Eiffel Tower.
Rooster, will you explain to Milk who Mark Spitz is?
Yeah. You know who Mark Spitz is, don't you?
I know who Mark Spitz is.
Do you know who Garo is?
He was the triathlete.
Yeah, do you know who
Come on.
No.
He was Michael Phelps before there was Michael
Phelps. He ran the 100 meter.
No, he didn't.
Right.
He
ran it in the pool.
Do you guys all want a medal, or do one of you want to win
I'm
the
taking
Super Bowl?
I'm taking a gold medal.
I think I want a bronze. Is it gold or bronze?
Well, maybe that makes a difference. I think what Bison's saying is true. I think this is the time that you can suspend the Ricky Bobby rule, that if you're, you know, not first, you're last. I think a bronze medal, the way it moved some of these, like the girl Jefferson that took third on the 100 meter run. Oh my God. She was so, for the women's day, she was so, so emotional over that. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well, some of these young runners are running against their idols, you know.
Right, and they're just very, very happy just to get on the podium. That's all.
Well, they've been practicing for 4 years for one moment. Like, I mean, look,
one shining moment.
Anything away from like Scheffler, because I thought that was an unbelievable moment. But these guys do play professional golf every weekend,
right?
So it's like
These people are literally practicing 4 years for like this second, this 100-meter dash.
And you know, Milk, that was one of the things that was kind of cool about Pommel Horse guy. I don't know if anybody saw his interview after, and you know, he was like preaching, you know, how great gymnastics is, and was saying, you know, I hope, you know, because they asked him like, how does it feel to be a hero back in America now or something like that? He just said, he's like, I just hope, you know, if this gets people interested in gymnastics and they turn it on, it's a really fun sport. There's great competitors, amazing athletes. And it was true. I mean, you know, they are, you know, even if they're competing on a regular basis, it's certainly not in any kind of limelight like the Olympics, right? I mean, did you even know there would be like, you know, world championships in gymnastics every year? Who knew that? I mean, other than maybe Simone Biles getting some attention on it. But so you're right. It's these guys are they're just competing, and this is the height of it for them.
Rooster, could I say something about the sportsmanship that you mentioned?
Yes, go ahead.
My second favorite. I've had so many favorite images already from the Olympics, but my second one just happened today. I don't know if you guys caught this from the floor exercise of the women's, and this very beautiful and accomplished gymnast who has had the misfortune of being a female gymnast at the same time Simone Biles has been in the world, this Rebeca Andrade from Brazil. Yep. So today she finally got to the top. She won the floor exercise and got the gold, and the silver and bronze were won by American Simone Biles and Jordan Chiles. And if you didn't see the medal ceremony, when Rebeca Andrade takes the podium to get the gold, both Simone Biles and Jordan Chiles are so happy for her. They know how much it meant to her that they bow down and worship her on the medal stand. And they're like, yep, you know, like kind of the whole, we're not worthy. That's awesome. That's what sportsmanship's about. That's their competitor.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Well, I'll tell you what, let's go around the horn and just share with the audience your favorite lasso or your favorite punchable face or both from the last week. Go ahead, Bison.
Yeah. So I'm going to give a shout out. I'm going to be a little bit of a homer on this and go with the athletes from the DMV. The DMV being DC, Maryland, and Virginia. I don't know if anybody saw this, but there was a stat that said if Montgomery County, Maryland were a country, it would be in the top 50 for medals of all time, Olympic medals, which is pretty staggering. But I mean, these are some of the Americans who are from the DMV that have been competing. First of all, you have Phoebe Bacon, Erin Gamel, and Katie Ledecky, all from the one school I mentioned last week, Stone Ridge. Tori Husk is from Arlington. You've got what's his name? The 100-meter
winner.
Yeah, the 100-meter winner. What's
Virginia.
His name? Lyles.
Noah
He's
Lyles.
From Virginia. Noah Lyles is from Virginia. They didn't really count her, but Rodman, Tiffany Rodman or Trinity Rodman, is plays for the Washington Spirit, the MLS team, the women's team here in the DC area. I mean, then you've got Kevin Durant. I'm trying to see. I mean, there's a list of them. It just goes on and on of these people, including the 16-year-old kid who's on the 4x400 relay team, Quincy Wilson. So, you know, it's pretty bananas. And I don't know, go hometown. It's amazing how well the athletes from this area have done.
House, what do you have?
I'm going to start with a punch. I don't know if you guys heard this story. We've already talked a lot about the 100-meter women's race, but you may not know that the woman Shelley Fraser Jones, I think is her name, the Jamaican, who pulled out of that race. Everyone was surprised not to see her. There was an empty lane during that race. And Sha'Carri Richardson may not have won that race. I don't know if you heard, but the organizers at the Paris Olympics would not let them on there, where they were located, the way you could get there, you wasn't like a team bus or something. So they would have had to, and Sha'Carri Richardson did, walk a mile to the stadium where the race was being held, because there was no transportation that was arranged for them. And that was why Frazier Jones pulled out. She thought that it would affect her preparation by having to expend the energy to walk a mile to the stadium before running a 100-meter race. It just so turns out that I think most people haven't heard enough about is that Sha'Carri Richardson still pulled off that silver medal after having walked a mile of her own to get to the stadium. And I just think there have been other stories like that.
Is there not an Olympic village where they're all staying? I mean, what's the deal?
There is.
It says that Shelley and Sha'Carri didn't stay in the Olympic village. And since they were denied entry and the gate for the athletes, so they were forced to walk to the front gates and then had to walk all the way back to where the athletes warm up. So they missed warm-ups, essentially.
What asshole did that?
It's terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible.
Yeah.
I have to say, I have mixed views on this whole Noah Lyles thing, and we could probably talk about that whole race for the whole pod. I do think what the guy said, which I think we punched him for long ago on this pod, when he said, well, why are they calling the NBA champion world champions? There's no like international flags in the game. They're playing just there in the USA. Like, where's all the flags? We race against the flags. We're world champions. And I found it pretty funny that all the USA basketball team was there for the 100-meter race, probably to see what is one of the marquee events. But I think they were also waiting to see whether Noah Lyles was going to have to eat crow. I got to give that guy credit. Like, he talked the talk and then he ran the race.
He's a one-man PR team, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Do you know his story house?
A little bit, yeah. I saw some of the backstory during the race.
Yeah, I mean, he got a bronze in Tokyo, and he was coming off antidepressants in Tokyo, yeah, which affected his performance. And the reason he was on antidepressants is because he became very depressed during COVID and during the whole George Floyd thing. It just really affected him emotionally, and he got very depressed. And so he went on these antidepressants, and he was coming off of them as they were going into Tokyo. But he also has ADD, and he's got all kinds of issues that he's overcome, you know, to get there. And I guess,
asthma. He's got terrible asthma.
Yeah. And what I saw this morning was his main physio guy was like, I've got a good feeling. I think you're going to get it. You know, fight for every centimeter. Because these guys, I mean, when you talk about a game of inches, I mean, 5/1000ths of a second. It's all the training, everything he does, just to get that one piece of your torso. It's amazing.
I have a question for you, House. Do you know who Vashti Cunningham is?
Yes. Vashti Cunningham is Randall Cunningham's daughter.
Yeah.
And I think she's a high jumper.
Yeah.
She's a high jumper. Olympics? I think she took fifth. Yep. Right?
Interesting. Yeah. Wow. It's interesting.
She was behind the Ukrainian model, who I'm sure Milk will be talking about.
By the way, I did like on the 100 meter that like the seventh place or whatever, the American, we had two of them or top three, right? Or
Yeah.
So there was like a third that was like seven that would have been on the podium in Tokyo. Like that's
seven out of nine beat the world record, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like how crazy this one was.
Same with swimming. Milk, you have a punch or a lasso you want to share with us?
Well, I thought House was going to do this. Are we? Because last week we were talking about the River Sin, right?
Complete.
Yeah, okay. Right.
Follow like, up to that.
This can't be good. This will end poorly. And then they do it. They do the triathlon or whatever. And what happens 2 days later? Is this person still alive? By the way, develops some sort of illness. I don't know.
Gollum from the Lord of the Rings.
She's been detained in the toilet.
They went with it today, by the way, at 8 a.m.
Yeah.
Local
no,
time,
but the so Belgian the Belgian team pulled out because one of their triathletes is in the hospital with E. coli.
We won't know for at least 2 days whether or not someone dies from today's
event. Disgusting.
Was it actually E. coli? Is that
yes.
the diagnosis? Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. I hadn't heard that. Yet.
Been in the hospital 4 days.
Ew.
She's, but they're like, yeah, we got to keep, we got to do it again. Wait, let's go. We got to move forward with it.
You know, whoever decided that the best way to get rid of sewerage is to have it flow down rivers and into oceans, they should all be punched. It's just disgusting. Pope, what do you have?
Well, we kind of alluded to it a little bit, but it got really filled out during the week. The men's gymnastics team, just amazing backstories, right? The two guys, you know, we've talked about Nernarowski or whatever, but the two guys that really stuck out to me was Brody Malone, who's the captain from Georgia. Who,
the guy's mom died?
Yeah, his mom died of cancer in 2012, and he dedicated his, you know, basically his gymnastic career to her, because she's the one who got him involved in gymnastics. And his father and met his mother, and I guess they were both doing equestrian events, so they, you know, were already kind of had that Olympic spirit. But his father was there with the family, and his father's actually engaged to be married, and they showed Brody after. And you got to remember, Brody in the preliminaries was awful. I mean, he was really hurting the team. He didn't qualify for any of the individual finals, which was very unusual for him. But he came through in the team event in a big way and helped them to get that bronze. And so when they showed him going up to his father, gave him the took the medal off and gave it to his father, who put it around his neck, and, you know, it was a very emotional moment. I thought that was extremely cool. And, you know, the other story that I thought was really neat is Fred Richard, Freddie Flips, the black athlete gymnast from University of Michigan, who has been his entire, he talked about his entire career as a gymnast. He's the only guy or one of the few that looks like him. And he's big time social media influencer, has basically said he's dedicating his Olympics and his social media and all that. He's trying to get more black gymnasts involved, both men and women, through his you know, achievements as well as social media. So he's really a cool guy to watch, because he's young and he'll be around for a while.
Well, I'd like to wrap this up by giving a lasso to Paris. Notwithstanding the health conditions of the Seine, you know, if you remember back to Tokyo, these track meets were run in essentially empty stadiums, and Paris has been like a, you know, like 2 weeks of the biggest rock and roll band in the world playing every day, and people are just, you know, mobbing to the events, and it just has gone off really without a hitch.
Such a cool venue for the
yeah events. It's I love the fact that they're not stuck to all these, you know, stadiums and places that they built just specially for the Olympics that they'll never use again. I love the fact that they're doing it in the city. It's I just think they've done a wonderful job, and I give them a lasso for how awesome it's been. Anything else? Go ahead.
Well, I've got one that I'm not sure we're going to have to figure out if it's a punch or a lasso, but, you know, the French pole vaulter.
What
happened here? What is this?
What happened there?
Pope,
you explain this, Pope.
No one better than Pope to explain this, because he has similar issues.
On his third on his third attempt, whatever, so however tall it was. His third attempt, he cleared it, but for one issue, which was his package was just a little bit too big for the event, and he knocked the pole over with his protruding package. And really? Since then, he's become quite an Instagram and, you know, social media star in France. Obviously, lots of women are interested in in hooking up with him. So I'm not sure if it's a punch, because, you know, maybe you should have done a little bit more with your package and made sure it wasn't going to disqualify you. Or is it a lasso because he is now a French hero?
Wow. I'm giving him a lasso.
Yeah.
Mel, get off the internet for 1 second and tell us what you were about to say.
I would well.
He was trying to Google the French pole vaulter's dong.
He's got the Ukrainian model supermodel high jumper.
I was just gonna say to Rooster's
point on the locations, how cold it was, because I was highly interested in the Italy USA beach volleyball yesterday. I'm sure we all were. And it's just so cool that it's right behind the Eiffel Tower. So
the men's or the women's, Milk?
Women's. It was definitely.
Okay, gotcha.
It
was an excellent match. Just want to clarify.
Unfortunately, the USA won, but you know, good for them.
All right. Anything else on the Olympics?
Have you guys seen a sport during this Olympics that you never really paid a lot of attention to that kind of like caught your interest? Because for me, like, I never really paid any attention at all. Now that they've got this quad box thing where you can watch four sports at the same time, which is so great because it allows you to see sports that you don't normally see.
Yeah, unless the other one's on Peacock.
Yeah, well, sorry.
Don't get me started.
Handball. If you guys have watched any of these handball matches, they're intense and very, very physical and fun. Cool. I like handball now. I think I might try out for the handball team.
Shockingly, for me, it's synchronized diving. I'm just amazed. I'm amazed that these people can pull off that degree of synchronization that high up in the air. I mean, I'm amazed by the ability to do that.
Well, I got to bring it back to where I talked about last week, because I think Pope wants to hear a little bit more. First of all, we can't talk about breaking without mentioning Pope. You know him. You love him. DJ Cool Herc, also known as Clive Campbell, who was the inventor of breakdancing back in the 70s in New York. So Herc was 16 years old.
That's back when Richard was going to Studio 54.
Yeah, man. Herc was 16 years old. He kicked it off with a little James Brown sex machine. That is the history of breakdancing. And now here we are. By the way, probably the best place to watch any of the events have been at the Place de la Concorde, where they're doing 3-on-3 basketball as well as breaking. So, you know, look, it's Friday and Saturday. I know people have been asking all week, where is the breakdancing? Did I miss it? No, you did not miss it. It starts August 9th, 10 a.m. Eastern time.
Have they had preliminaries yet?
B-girl qualification on August 9th, followed by the B-girl final from 2 to 4. And then you've got the B-boys qualifying on August 10th from 10 to 12, and the B-boy final from 2 to 4. However, just one thing to know, do not call Phil Wizard, Logistics, or Sonny by their name B-boy or B-girl. They prefer just their actual breaking names of Phil Wizard, Logistics, and Sonny. Yeah. So don't screw that up if you want to sound like you know what you're talking about. So that's it. I mean, that's the last thing I got to say. That's the one I'm looking forward to.
How's our squad looking?
That is useful information. Thank you, Bison.
Do we have a squad? Are we going to win this?
Hell yeah.
No way.
SMQB boys.
I don't know.
As long as during a throwdown there's no biting, then we should be good. And if you want to know what that means, you're going to have to look it up. Guys, are we going to win the basketball gold? Because the next pod, are you sure?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yes?
Okay.
It's going to be uninteresting. We will win.
Yeah.
Would that be like, to you NBA guys, if they don't win the gold, is that like a massive, crushing, like,
huge upset?
Like, that would.
Okay. Yes. I mean, this is the dream team.
They're going around saying they're better than the dream team.
Right.
Okay. Wow.
That's not the case.
All right. That's aggressive.
Listen,
we got all those team sports that we'll decide. You know, men's and women's soccer, a bunch of stuff coming ahead, and we got the decathlon. We got a lot of good stuff.
We got wrestling.
Hey, to satisfy my friends who told us we should stick to baseball, let's talk about baseball for a couple of minutes. It's
I'd rather not.
We're in the dog days of summer here, and it's a bizarre. The AL East, the Yankees and the Orioles are tied, I think, at 66 and 46, or at least they were this morning. The Guardians are 67-43 atop the Central, with that at that point the best record in baseball. You had the West with the Mariners and the Astros, both with 53 losses. And the East, the Phillies are ahead in the National League with 45 losses. Brewers in the Central, 48 losses. And in the West, the Dodgers with 47 losses. And it seems like every one of these leaders, except for maybe the Guardians, has had a terrible losing streak this year. The Phillies are in the midst of one right now. The Yankees looked like they were just the worst team in baseball for a couple of weeks, and yet they're still in first place. What's going on? Are these divisions just too top heavy right now? There's not enough competition. What's going on?
I think Bison, when he, you know, put a little hex on me at the All-Star break saying the Phillies were done. I actually think he was on to something a little bit. A lot of these top teams have really faltered since the All-Star break. I think it messes up your mojo. I'm not a baseball player, but these guys were in a groove. The pitchers were in a groove. They were on a schedule. They were on a regimen. It gets interrupted. And almost throughout both leagues since the All-Star break, all the top leading teams have really stunk since the All-Star break. I don't know. Is that the reason?
How else? You're right in this regard. I mean, baseball is a rhythm. It's a groove game, right? I mean, that's why the team that you have to worry about going into the postseason the most is whoever's playing the best, right? And that's why you see some of these wild card teams, advance past the wild card when you wouldn't expect them to, but it's because they had to bite, scratch, and claw their way in, and they're hitting their stride. So, I mean, baseball is very much a rhythm sport, and when you get moving, you just want to keep going. You don't want to stop for anything.
All right, let's move on.
The Yankees have the best record in the last 10 in the majors right now.
Right.
So it's like they're coming out of their slump.
Which is amazing.
As everybody else is going into one.
Yeah, considering the starting pitching is terrible. And,
when you have the greatest hitter on the planet on your team, that helps.
True. And well, two of them, really.
Yeah,
oh,
two
my
of
God.
Them.
God.
Yeah. Bartender. Can we talk about how shitty the AL West is? That could be one of the worst divisions ever.
It's unbelievable. I mean, we just put Scherzer back on the DL for 15. He's got fatigue. I mean, I don't know if he'll ever pitch to where he was again.
The strategy of paying a ton of money for injured older pitchers is just never going to work again because of the wear and tear on these guys' arms. I mean, there's no one out there pitching like Tom Glavine or Greg Maddux anymore. They're all throwing smoke. Yeah. And they're coming up with new pitches all the time. You can't pitch like that when you're that age. You just can't do it.
And it's not even the smoke. It's the, you know, all this focus on spin rate and all that is making these guys torque everything so much more. I mean, they're so focused on upping that spin rate. I think that's putting a lot of stress on their arms too.
Yep.
I'll tell you what, the wild cards are very exciting. I mean, there are so many teams still in it.
Are the Rays still in it?
Rays are still alive.
Really? Huh. That's not exciting. Let's move on to buzzer beaters. Who's got a buzzer, Pope?
Not exciting.
Buzzer?
Well, I mean, it just came over the wire. I don't know how much truth there is to it, but it looks like the Steelers may be on the verge of getting Brandon Ayuk from the Niners.
Steelers?
Wow.
Yeah.
Thought it was the Patriots or the Browns.
No, it's Steelers. Wow, wow, at least they're in the catbird seat, according to what I just read.
Too bad he has Russell Wilson throwing in the football.
Maybe. Justin Fields.
Maybe. I think it's going to be Justin Fields.
I thought he was starting.
Interesting.
He's starting for the first game.
He is. Yeah, first game.
Then he's.
Milk.
Interesting.
Milk, you have a buzzer?
Yeah, not really.
Okay. House.
Actually, I do. Hold on. I have one. I wanted to bring this up during the Olympics. So I love Simone and Suni, and they have done phenomenal in gymnastics. But did you guys hear their excuses for why they lost today on the balance beam?
No.
That there wasn't enough crowd noise. Oh, does anyone understand that?
That's bad.
They couldn't get into rhythm because it wasn't loud enough. I didn't like that. I just wanted to throw it out there. I love
them. Interesting.
That sounds like a milk slap.
Just say you fell off the beam.
You just milk slapped two of our gymnasts. Yes.
No, that's why I saved it for the buzzer beater. It's not a slap.
All right, House. Buzzer.
My image for today, if our YouTube watchers see it, is Joel Embiid playing it up to the crowd. And I just got to say, that guy is hilarious. I mean, love him, hate him, whatever. The French obviously hate him. They feel spurned by him. And if you watch that Puerto Rico game and he was hamming it up and they were booing him and then he would make a shot and he was hold his hand to his ear. And at the end of the game, they were booing even louder. And he was like whipping them up to make more noise, only to shoot like a half court air ball. The guy is hilarious. And I think it's good for the Olympics. And I think it's good for USA basketball. Like, why so serious? It's great. It beats hilarious.
You know what I love about House is he really has no concept of what a homer he is.
Yeah, no concept.
None.
I do.
None whatsoever.
That's an American homer.
I still think it's funny that France thinks that he should be playing for them. Like what is that? Like, God.
That's the ultimate colonial image.
Right. Like you became a citizen like a year ago. Come on.
Right.
Bison, you have a buzzer.
Well, I think this is from this week. I don't remember if this news is out when we had the last pod, but I just want to mention Carlos Sainz in F1 going to Williams next year. He signed with Williams, which, you know, most people look at Williams as one of the bottom feeder teams. I think for anybody who's started watching F1 since Drive to Survive and sort of knew, which certainly is me, but, you know, Williams as a team has a long and really pretty proud history. And it seems like I was listening to an interview and they were saying that this commitment to a top driver has got the whole team fired up moving forward. And of course, it's not going to happen next year because of where the car regulations are. But keep an eye on Williams for 2026 when the new cars come out. And let's see how Carlos Sainz does with that team. Maybe he'll bring him back to a little glory.
I'm going to get a Williams hat.
For my buzzer, I wanted to say hats off to the newest NFL Hall of Fame inductees, Julius Peppers. Seems like just yesterday that guy came out of UNC. I mean, it just time flies.
So annoying.
Andre Johnson. Devin Hester, the first kick return specialist to get into the hall. I think Billy White Shoes Johnson should be following him now. Dwight Freeney and Patrick.
What about B. Mitch?
Yes.
Brian Mitchell. More yards from scrimmage than anyone in NFL history.
Devin Hester Mitch put a plug in for B. Mitch Homer. During his speech.
Homer.
But there were also some senior members, Randy Gradishar and Steve McMichaels. I know you guys know McMichaels from the Bears. Bears shuffling crew. He's got ALS now. But let me ask you this. You guys know what team Randy Gradishar played for? He was the 1978 Defensive Player of the Year.
Was he on the Broncos?
Yes.
Come on.
Wow.
He was.
Why do you guys know this shit?
He was awesome.
Old guys for the win.
He's awesome. It's a shame that he was not in the hall before now. He was really good.
I don't know if y'all saw the ceremony.
The Orange Crush.
Michael.
Yeah, that was a really nice ceremony.
They did it at his bedside. Yeah, yep. It was really cool.
Yep, yep.
And he got a jersey for him. I mean, a jacket for him.
Jacket.
All right. Anyone else have a buzzer or anything else you want to cover?
Go USA. Let's get some more buzzer.
All right. That's you. Yeah. Until next week.
The SMQBs are Brian Bandwagon Pope, who hails from Dallas, Texas, and has never met a first place team that he didn't have a personal connection to. Michael Rooster Phelan, hailing from Richmond, and who roots for teams from New York, or is it Boston? I can't remember which it was. One or the other. Also, Patrick Milk Michler from Tampa Bay, and he is still massively in love with Tom Brady and will never get over his man crush on the GOAT. Toby House Milrod, a long-suffering sports fan hailing from Philadelphia, whose Eagles team, they're still looking for another quarterback. And I am Chris Bison Nace, hailing from Washington, District of Champions. Thanks for listening.